Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to Radio for Your Mind. This is Thursday, the 21st, and a couple of things are really taking place today that I'm excited about. Number one, we're doing the radio show. But even more exciting than that, let me jump down here. I got an email that I just thought was rock on today. Yeah, I'm going to be on a conference call with Howard Schultz, the CEO and founder of Starbucks. His book, Onward. I'm excited about this. It's going to be a fun time. And this is what makes things exciting, is when you're able to be a part of history. And today we're in Chapter 13, A Reason to Exist. And look, I automatically know most of our listeners across the border in the direct selling niche. You're either in sales for a pharmaceutical company, a copier company, you're in network marketing, a party plan company, something out there. We've even got some CEOs that listen. And our goal with this radio show, for you that hang out, maybe you're new, is to provide nuggets of wisdom from the greatest minds in different vertical markets, different niches. And I've studied Starbucks for many, many years because of some nonprofit work that I do. And I felt that Starbucks, as a publicly traded company, had it right. And we've implemented a lot of their strategies. When Howard brought this book out, how Starbucks fought for its life without losing its soul, I knew I had to get it because I'm a card-carrying member of the Starbucks company, not only as a stockholder but also as a drinker. I got an early notice. We picked it up. We have some extra stuff that came with it. But this chapter really says it's all. And I thought it was ironic. It's Chapter 13, A Reason to Exist. Howard starts off, by early March 2008, the fact that I had returned to run Starbucks was no longer news. People outside the company, shareholders, analysts, journalists, had stepped back, moving on to other things, and waiting to see if we reverse the tide. This happens in every business. You know, it doesn't matter what niche it is, positive news, bad news, after a couple, 3 weeks, 90 days, it's gone. But with Howard, it wasn't gone. With the internal team, they were still realigning senior leaders. They were conceiving the new vision and the new strategy, the transformation agenda. Howard writes, it was a bit overwhelming, but there was no time to waste. With the disappointing first quarter behind us and a worsening second quarter already underway, a real sense of urgency propelled me. The window for rallying thousands of partners for rekindling their passion and belief in the company's future would not remain open long. This is where you and I must look. We have to realize that today is 2011. Not only has Starbucks turned a corner, but most of us see a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train coming at us. The economy has turned. It's not saying that there's not still pockets of craziness out there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it's all peaches and cream. But I do believe that if we will take to heart the title of this chapter, A Reason to Exist, if we will dig deep within ourselves and find out what our reason to exist is, I believe we can make a difference. At 8 a.m. Tuesday, March 4th, Howard, standing on a small stage no more than a few feet high, he was in a position where he couldn't even discern the cynics from the optimist. But he believed that no matter what, if he could get them to believe in the vision, get them to believe in him, that without a shadow of a doubt, they could change the course of the company. At that moment, Howard read a quote, and I want you to listen to this. I thought this was pretty profound, and a lot of us in the direct selling niche have this issue. He said, I read a quote that said, well, basically he attributed it to Paul McCartney, and he was asked to identify the beginning of the end in the terms of the Beatle breakup. What was the catalyst? What was the moment? And it was funny because Paul McCartney took it all the way back to New York Shea Stadium in the summer of 65, when 55,000 screaming, hysterical fans, the largest crowd the band had ever performed for live, the Beatles came out on stage. Amidst the clamor and the chaos, as the story goes, the Beatles could not even hear their own music. This is what Paul McCartney said. Their art was drowned out by their popularity. It was the massive shows like this that were, as Paul looked in it in retrospect, that was the beginning of the end. Too many times, I think, in direct selling especially, average, ordinary folks make extraordinary things happen. It's extraordinary what can be accomplished for just an average, ordinary person. And sometimes in the midst of that, as we see the checks driven up, as we see the excitement taking place, we tend to forget where we came from. We stop hearing the art. The music's drowned out by the popularity. It's called ego. I, for one, have lived through this. I remember a few years ago when articles were being written in newspapers, when people were saying great things, I believed it. And it was a downfall for me. That's been over 10 years. But I remember. And I think we all can go through this if we're not careful. See, Howard understood that almost a year after he had written the memo about the erosion of Starbucks' soul, he was now on stage in a mastermind. He looked out over his top leaders from around the world and he said, "When did we stop hearing our own music?" If you're a founder, a CEO, a top leader, you have to ask yourself, when did you stop hearing your own music? See, too many times the chaos of the world, the naysayers that are around us that really do love us to death, our friends and families adore us. They don't want to see us fail. I was at breakfast this morning with a stud, man. I mean, this kid is somebody that I adore. He's just gone through a major situation in his life. He's a firefighter and was in a motorcycle accident, shattered his leg, compound fracture. May not ever be able to go back to work. And as we were talking, I know that some of his family members happened to be in a network marketing company. I said, "How's it going, man?" He said, "Troy, it's putting them into bankruptcy. At least I feel that way." He goes, "My family's given it 5 strong years, man, and it's just not working for them." I said, "I'd love to talk to him, love to hear the story and see if I could help." See, sometimes in the midst of the numbers, in the midst of the propaganda, in the midst of our energy, we lose our own music and we don't realize that we're doing things wrong. We don't realize that we're putting ourselves into bankruptcy just because we're not listening to our own music anymore. In Starbucks' case, the comps were getting stronger and stronger, but yet the foundation was being cracked wider. Howard went on and he said, "When did we forget that our business is about the customer and our love and passion for coffee, not the numbers?" See, a lot of people, my friend, mentor John Addison says this, the numbers never lie. And you guys have heard me quote John on this. And but the numbers come after the passion and after the music. There's not a right or wrong happens per se for most of us, but it does happen, and we have to get back to it. We have to look in the mirror and say, "Ladies and gentlemen, let's be honest with one another. We are not doing this as well as we once did. And the mediocrity that we have been embracing cannot stand any longer." See, Howard said this to a room of the most successful businessmen and women in history. And we need to say it to ourselves. We have to be committed to change. We cannot lose our soul based on the numbers. We got to go back. We got to find a turning point. We've got to make it happen. It's funny, because Howard goes on and he writes some stuff. He says, we are going to go look back on it as if it was the right thing to do, if it was the turning point. And I read that and I thought, what was the turning point for Starbucks? And here's what it was. As a proof of the company's newfound commitment, a dramatically shift behavior, he said, the day we closed 7,000 U.S. stores for espresso training was the turning point. It's when we drew a line in the sand and told the public we're getting back to the basics. See, Howard knew that before this weekend was out, he had to get these people to believe in their brand, in their purpose. They had to believe in the comprehensive plan that he and his team was about to unveil, the transformation agenda. I think every one of us in life should have a transformation agenda. We have to understand what it is we're trying to accomplish. We cannot deviate from our core competency. We can't demand that people follow us, but we can put it out there on the line. We can say, I am going to be your leader, and I'm going to be held accountable, and we're going for broke. And when we do that, it makes a difference. I remember a young second lieutenant in the Marine Corps who wanted to demand leadership, demand we follow his every lead. He was a leader based on rank. And then there were guys like Major Fenton and Gunny Davis who led by example. And we followed them willingly. When Howard was on stage that morning in March 2008, here's what he said. A week before I came back as CEO, both of my children asked me, Dad, why are you going back? You don't need this. And I told them that if I think about two things that I love in my life, it's my family and this company. There's nothing that I would not do for my family, just like everyone in the room, and there is nothing that I would not do for this company. I will hold myself to the highest levels of accountability. I will walk through and climb over every wall to make sure that we get to the place that we deserve. But no one in this room, including myself, can do it alone. There has never been a time in the history of the company that we needed each other more than we need each other right now. Folks, I believe that with our callers. I believe that with the listeners on this show. See, if we're going to make it, if we're going to make the direct selling niche, if you're going to make your company, your employees, your partners, whatever, if you're going to make them the catalyst, the turning point, if you're going to get back your core competency, then you got to do it as a team. My mentor, John Maxwell, says there are no Lone Rangers. It's together that you make things happen. It's together that people climb to the top. And now is the time for us to get on the same page. See, that's the key. In Howard's case, the transformation agenda evolved and had three firm pillars. It was written in an approachable language so that everyone in the company, part-time baristas, store managers, regional directors, division presidents, everybody could read it and quickly grasp the priorities. And they wrote it in such a beautiful way. First of all, here's the opening part of it. Everybody's got a mission statement, but in this case, they had an aspiration statement. And part of the transformation agenda started like this. Our aspiration is to become an enduring great company with one of the most recognized and respected brands in the world, known for inspiring and nurturing the human spirit. Now look, we all know what comfort food is. And from different parts of the country, we have different types of comfort food. But even my beautiful princess, who doesn't like the taste of coffee, loves the aroma. She walks into a room. It's that comforting. We see the commercials from all the other little companies. And here they are, going beyond coffee and saying nurturing the human spirit. They know that if they can get it down right, that every time somebody walks into a Starbucks store, that the Starbucks experience will inspire a nurturing human spirit. I thought that was rocking. They go on, and you might want to write this down. They had 7 big moves to make this happen. Number 1, be the undisputed coffee authority. You need to be the undisputed authority in your channel, your niche, your company, whatever it is that you're trying to do. You cannot transform where you're at today if you do not excel and lead from your core or from your core business. Here was the cool part about this. To accomplish this, Hired writes, we would tell our story. He didn't say they'd show the numbers. He said they'd tell the story. Are you sharing your story? What story does your company have? What story do you have? You have to get the story out. Number 2. Engage and inspire our partners. In their case, the employees. In your case, it could be your employees and your sales force. Every partner should be passionate about coffee from soil to the cup and possess the skills, enthusiasm, and permission to share that expertise with customers. That's what you need. You need to be able to passionately share your story. You need to engage and inspire your team members, whether they're at the home office or in the field. There's got to be passion. You got to drive it home. This is what causes people to excel. Howard and Joanne go on to write, Starbucks would develop meaningful and groundbreaking compensation benefits and incentive packages for their partners. If you share the story, if you put your partners first, if you create the recognition systems to praise those people, the sky's the limit on where your company, where your organization will go. Number 3, ignite the emotional attachment with our customers. Listen to this. People come to Starbucks for coffee and human connection. We would put our customers back in the center of the experience by addressing their needs, providing value in a manner congruent with the brand, and developing programs that recognize and reward our loyal customers. See, we have to do this. There has to be an emotional attachment. It cannot just be about the money. If people are not emotionally attached to your brand, if they cannot let the story resonate in them, if you haven't built something in to recognize and reward customers for their loyalty, you will not sustain longevity. Number 4, expand our global presence while making each store the heart of the local neighborhood. Now, I want you to listen to these figures right here. Starbucks had less than 1% share of the global coffee market. This is in 2000, a $10 billion company. And they only had 1% of the market. How big is your market? See, again, it's not about the large numbers. It's about controlling and being the best that you can be. Starbucks had less than 1% of the global coffee market, but also strived to connect with and support the neighborhoods and cultures that each store served. Enhancing our local relevancy would mean redesigning existing and new stores, offering new products that reflected the taste of particular cultures, and reaching out by volunteering or fundraising to support local programs. Our Starbucks right here on the islands do that. You have to be able to do this. Vima, the Brieco family company, has done this. They have created local cultures. They're doing some great things locally with their teams. Other companies are doing the same thing. If you want to build something, connect locally. Maybe you're a leader in the field. Doggone it, go out there. And here's what you can do. Go out there. This is great. Go out and sponsor a little league team. Go out and do something big. It'll make all the difference in the world. Number five, be a leader in ethical sourcing and environmental impact. 2110, Richard Brook and Teams Company are leading a charge in this. Michael Winiger over at Asante Worldwide, leading a charge in this. Walk the walk. Practice what you preach. Let people know that you are doing your part. You're being a good steward. Do it locally. Years ago, I didn't recycle. Now we recycle. This is a small thing that we can do. Make a difference. Number six, create innovative growth platforms worthy of our coffee. Now listen so you understand how you can implement this in your own culture. Starbucks would grow not just by adding stores and selling coffee, but also by extending its brand and or expertise to new products and platforms. Who can you co-brand with? Who can you go co-partner with? I was just at the Real Savvy Success Women's Empowerment Conference. I saw women cross-platform, women in competing companies coming together as one to change the world. They raised funds to go against human trafficking. I love these guys, these gals, excuse me. Sweet sisters. I mean, it puts the Yaya sisterhood like to shame. These gals are rock stars. This is what it's about. Innovation that is relevant to your core and the values, that will be the hallmark for transformation. It's what worked for Starbucks. And number seven, deliver a sustainable economic model. Without a profitable business model, big moves 1 through 6 would not be possible. It was imperative that we refocus on our customers and our core. See, if you refocus on your customer and your core, the numbers, the business model will happen. This is the power behind what we're talking about here. We won't get through this whole chapter because there's so much nuts and bolts, meat and potatoes that are here. One of the things that Howard first did was he made a change in the U.S. operations, brought in a Brit who had never lived in the United States to run it. It was an unexpected move, but here's why he did it. Cliff Burrows, who took over the U.S. operations that was failing, Cliff had grown up doing the unexpected. At age 10, Cliff traveled alone 5,000 miles to the United Kingdom to attend boarding school, returning home to South Africa only twice a year until his parents returned to the United Kingdom when Cliff was 13 years old. 3 years he lived abroad. Cliff's father died in an industrial accident and was fiercely independent, so Cliff shunned college after a semester for a career in retail. The top player, the president of the U.S. division, doesn't even have a college degree. His very, very first job was when he was 15, working at a Woolworth store. Every Saturday, he began his day in the basement, peeling mice off of sticky mouse traps, and ended the day setting the traps for the following week. He started at 15, and by age 23, he was running his first store. Howard had faith because he knew the culture. He knew what this man stood for. He was willing to take it to the limits. They spent 3 days together talking about re-innovation, fine-tuning the transformation agenda, discussing how to execute it in an operational and regional level. At the end of those 3 days, Howard was ready to do something big. And this is how he ended the 3 days. He said, "When we started here 2 days ago, I said that the key to all this is to embrace the work that we have done over the past years, but at the same time recognize the need for constant innovation and to challenge ourselves not to embrace the status quo and to push forward. The pressures of today, the economic and competitive, local and regional, national and global, are substantial, and we have to, I think, look within ourselves and try to be a different type of leader and demonstrate a different view of the world than we have in the past. So over the last few weeks, when we've examined all the things that we wanted to talk about these last couple of days, we began to look at a piece of paper that had been in place for 25 years. It was the mission statement of Starbucks. See, he realized we have to go back to the core. The mission statement had been at the focal point of everything they had done. It had inspired their future. He goes on to say, thinking about the transformation, we came to a consensus that the mission needed to be updated, and updated in a way that would capture the passion that we have for the future and the respect that we have for our past, but give the people who are with us today, as well as new people who will join us in the future, a new way to look at the company. At that very moment, as Howard was looking out, he realized that only one person in the audience had been with him from day one. That was Dave Olson. Dave had been one of his original people, helped live the mission statement, helped create it. Dave was excited, too, about this new mission. Howard goes on and he says this, "I would like to try in a serious way to share with you the words that we believe are right at this time. Our new mission that will replace the existing one. And I think that when you hear it and read it and live it for a while, you will agree that the group of people who have been assigned to this very important responsibility of rewriting it will have done well, representing the values and the history and the heritage of this company in a way that is consistent both with our past, our present, but most importantly, our future." Now, here's the mission statement. Listen to this. "The Starbucks mission to inspire and nurture the human spirit, one person, one cup, one neighborhood at a time. Our coffee, it has always been and always will be about the quality. We're passionate about ethically sourcing the finest coffee beans and roasting them with care. Our partners. We're called partners because it's not just a job, it's our passion. Together we embrace diversity to create a place for each of us. If working at Starbucks is a profession, it's a passion, not just a job, then we as independent business people have to feel the same way, and we have to get our partners to feel the same way. Our customers. When we are fully engaged, we connect with, laugh with, and uplift the life of our customers, even if just for a few minutes. We have to do that, folks, just like Starbucks. Our stores. When our customers feel this sense of belonging, our stores become a haven, a break from the worries outside. You need to create a culture that way. Our neighborhoods. Every store is part of a community, and we take responsibility for our community to be a good neighbor. Our shareholders. We know that if we deliver in each of these areas, we enjoy the kind of success and rewards that our shareholders dream of." Folks, this is what you have to do. By the end of this summit, there were people crying because they realized that the core of Starbucks was back. Folks, we know how to do this. We've got to get our core back from our family level to the corporate level. It's not just about the numbers. If you want to create something that will sustain and collect your family forever, then you better start focusing just like Starbucks. Get Howard's book, Onward, How Starbucks Fought for Its Life Without Losing Its Soul. Tomorrow, chapter 14. This is great. Benevolence. You're going to love it. Live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow morning for Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.